I want to thank Dr. Dill and the other presenters. It's really been a pleasure to be here this morning. I'm going to be presenting some work on behalf of a whole team of us who've been working on issues related to health as it relates to mortgage status in the context of the current mortgage crisis. So if you've been watching the news at all in the last 3 years, you know that we've experienced a rapid increase in the rate of mortgage defaults and foreclosures. So this figure is from the Washington Post and just shows you that beginning really in the first quarter of 2007, the rate of serious mortgage delinquency, which is being 3 or more months behind on a mortgage, began to rise really rapidly. And this goes through the end of 2009, but this basically continued through 2010 and has leveled off somewhat in 2011. But we know that about 16% of all mortgages are forecasted to be in foreclosure at some point between 2009 and 2012. This has really been conceptualized as an economic problem, but we think that it may also represent a public health problem. We know that home equity is the largest source of wealth for American families. And then in general, wealth has been associated with more positive health, but in particular that home ownership has been linked with lower depressive symptoms and better overall health, while unaffordable housing is related to reduced spending on needed health care and poorer health. We also know that more generally, financial strain is associated with depression, functional limitations in older people, and mortality. So why would we think that mortgage default in particular might impact health? Well, we know that there may be changes in health behaviors, and in particular negative trade-offs that households are making when they're trying to make ends meet. So they may be spending less money on food and be at risk for food insecurity, and also spending less money on needed health care. As well as that, this experience, we've done some qualitative work, is extremely stressful, and that may have its own health consequences. However, mortgage default may also be a consequence of poor health, and so we wanted to have an opportunity to look at this longitudinally and look at people before and after they fell into mortgage default. So what do we already know about this? I'm just going to talk about one study, but there have been several cross-sectional studies that myself and my co-authors have been involved in, where we've looked at the health status of people in mortgage default or foreclosure, and we know that they have worse health than similar homeowners, as well as renters who are not in default. So, for instance, in one study that used a survey of clients at a nonprofit mortgage counseling agency in the Philadelphia area, more than one-third of the clients met screening criteria for major depression. They had a high burden of chronic conditions, especially hypertension and heart disease. More than a fifth were uninsured, and very high prevalence of food insecurity, more than half reporting that they had skipped or delayed meals because they couldn't afford food, and about half reporting that they hadn't filled a prescription. But I should say that analysis also found very high levels of medical debt in those who were seeking mortgage counseling. So again, we wanted to get a handle on this issue by looking at people before and after mortgage default, and we were able to do that here using the Health and Retirement Study, looking at changes between 2006 and 2008 in both health status and health-relevant resources. The HRS is a nationally representative panel study of Americans over 50 that surveys older adults regarding both their health and economic status every 2 years. We were interested in this age group both because adults over 50 actually constitute more than a quarter of foreclosures, and there's a lot of emphasis on young families with children, but less on this large and important group of older adults, as well as because we thought that because of a higher burden of chronic conditions in this group, they might be more vulnerable to the health effects of foreclosure. And so in 2008, the HRS included a question on mortgage status asking whether people had fallen more than 2 months behind on mortgage payments in the past 2 years or since the 2006 survey. This question was added partway through the 2008 data collection, so it was only asked on about 60% of HRS respondents, which is why our sample was only about 2,500 people. But it was the survey allocation is random over the course of the year, so we have no reason to think that that 60% was different from the 38% who weren't asked the question. And participants were asked about their mortgage status if they either currently had a mortgage or no longer owned a home that they had owned in the 2006 survey. The health measures we looked at was an 8-item version of the CESD, where a score of greater than 6 indicated elevated depressive symptoms, major decline in self-rated health, so looking at whether people went from excellent, very good, or good to fair or poor health, or declined from fair to poor health, prescription non-adherence due to cost, and food insecurity, which was based on either reporting that there had been a time in the last 2 years when people hadn't had enough money to buy the food they needed, or utilizing assistance programs like SNAP or food stamps. We controlled for age, sex, race, ethnicity, marital status, smoking, annual income, non-housing debt to try to get at, again, medical debt or other sources of debt, number of chronic conditions, physical activity, and declines in household employment between 2006 and 2008, so controlling for changes in employment status over that period. Using logistic regression to predict new onset of elevated depressive symptoms, declines in self-rated health, and new onset of non-adherence and food insecurity. So again, really trying to focus on change. And we use sample weights, so this is representative of owner households in 2006 who remained in the survey between 2008. This was at the very beginning of the housing crisis between 2006 and 2008, and so we had a relatively small number of households that actually were in mortgage default over that period. So 68 individuals in mortgage default compared to over 2,000 who were housing secure. The mean ages were similar, but the median income was much lower in the mortgage default group, about $43,000 versus $61,000. Those who were in who had fallen behind on their mortgages over the two-year period were more likely to be women, non-white, and unmarried, which fits with what we know at a national level about groups that were more likely to experience mortgage default during this period. Here we're looking at the baseline health characteristics in 2006 by mortgage status. And so we can see these are all significant differences, that those who fell behind in their mortgages were already in worse health even before that happened in 2006. So about 15% of the mortgage default group already had elevated depressive symptoms compared to only 5% of the housing secure group. A third of the mortgage default group reporting fair or poor self-rated health compared to only 19% of the housing secure group. 23% reporting food insecurity compared to only 6% in the housing secure group, and about 28% in mortgage default. Again, already reporting that they were not taking prescription medications due to cost in 2006 compared to only 9% in the housing secure group. So in our regressions, we were actually taking out all of those who already reported high levels of depressive symptoms or already reported food insecurity, looking only at those who were at risk for developing the condition between 2006 and 2008. And so here you can see when we've taken out those and are just looking at new onset, what those changes look like over 2 years. So 22% of those in the mortgage default group developed elevated depressive symptoms compared to only 3% in the housing secure group. The changes in self-rated health were actually not significant, but what looks like a modest difference there. And then dramatic differences relating to food insecurity and cost-related prescription non-adherence, with 28% of the mortgage default group newly experiencing food insecurity by 2008. Compared to only 4% of the housing secure group, and 32% of those who fell behind on their mortgages reporting that they hadn't taken prescription medications due to cost, compared to only 5% in the housing secure group. When we do a logistic regression looking at odds of developing these conditions, we see large and significant differences for depressive symptoms, food insecurity, and cost-related prescription non-adherence. So model one here is just controlling for demographic differences and for income and economic characteristics. So that includes non-housing debt as well in 2006 at baseline. And so you can see that those who were in the mortgage default group had 8.6 times the odds of developing elevated depressive symptoms, 7.5 times the odds of developing food insecurity, and 8.7 times the odds of developing cost-related prescription non-adherence. And in fact, when we controlled for for physical activity, chronic conditions, and numerous other covariates in Model 2, it did not actually appear to explain this difference. And interestingly, when we actually added 2008 income, changes in employment status, that also didn't explain this difference. So it didn't appear to be that this was just indicative of households who were falling behind to the extent that we could control for falling behind in terms of income or employment. It appeared that there was an additional effect of mortgage default. So just to summarize, we found that homeowners who were behind in their mortgages in 2008 already had worse health in 2006, but importantly, they were also more likely to develop elevated depressive symptoms, food insecurity, and cost-related prescription non-adherence over a two-year period. And there are some important limitations to keep in mind related to this study. So the mortgage delinquency question was asked for the first time in 2008, so we can't look at fluctuations over time in people's mortgages more long-term. The dropout was likely to have been higher among those who experienced mortgage default, so we're, again, only picking up those who actually experienced default and stayed in the survey at 2008. Because we had a small sample, only 68 individuals who had fallen behind on their mortgages, we can't break that down to examine differences by ethnicity or marital status or those sorts of things. And risk of default in this age group is lower, and the health effects may be different in younger persons, although, again, we think that this group of people over 50 may be very important. So what are the implications here? I think that this study shows that there may be long-term implications. So we really think of the health outcomes that we were looking at as short-term consequences that of mortgage default that may have much larger long-term implications. We know that depression is associated with functional limitations and mortality, particularly individuals with chronic disease, and those who fell behind on their mortgages in this sample had an average of two chronic conditions already. So if we're thinking about the ability to manage a condition like diabetes, then clearly, you know, experiencing higher rates of depression as well as, and very importantly, food insecurity and difficulty paying for prescription medications may really have important long-run consequences that we weren't going to be able to see here in this relatively small sample over a two-year period. Also, and this is something that's come up in some of the other presentations today, but that this housing crisis might exacerbate health disparities. We saw that older women and older minorities were more likely to enter mortgage default, and we know that those groups already had poorer health before the recession, and so the consequences of mortgage default may be exacerbating health disparities. And then I think on a more positive note, this does show us that homeowners in default represent an identifiable high-risk group, and that provides an opportunity for coordinated care and sort of a one-stop shop. We've been doing work with mortgage counselors, nonprofit mortgage counselors that work, for instance, through the Making Home Affordable federal program. And we did a survey with them where half of them actually said that they would like to receive health training and reported that their clients, in the context of these sort of financial counseling sessions, were bringing up issues related to depression and difficulty paying for medical care. So we think that's one opportunity to work with the mortgage counselors to give them some training and resources related to health that they could then pass along to their clients. There are also some innovative programs going on around the country that could bring health into this context, so not just thinking about this as an economic problem, but explicitly incorporating health into policies related to foreclosures. For instance, in Maryland, if the foreclosure is related in some way to a health problem, for instance, losing a job because of a health problem or medical debt, there's an opportunity to get an extra year to bring payments up to the full amount. And so those sorts of policies can provide some room for families that are struggling to make ends meet to address health problems. And there's a lot of policy activity going on around these issues of mitigating the foreclosure crisis. So we think there are some great opportunities to bring health into that discussion. And then I just want to thank our funders for this work, and also note that this actually was a paper that just came out online last week on the AJPH website, and should be coming out in print early next year. Thank you.